We now proceed, this is Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, we now proceed with lesson number 6, in which we will be studying Mishnayos Meseches Yoma, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, and Mishnah Gimel. We learned yesterday in Mishnah Aleph of Perek Beis that Barishona, at an earlier time in the history, they did not do the procedure of the pious, the lottery, that we explained in a little bit of detail yesterday, the circle and the fingers and the whole procedure. But rather, they would have, whoever showed up first would be the one to do it. If there were two people or more who showed up first, they'd have a race. If there was a tie, then they would resort to the hagrolo, to the pious, to the circles and the fingers and the random numbers. However, something happened which made them give up the whole process of having a race to determine who would be the one to do the privilege, to be privileged to do the mitzvah of the Trumas Hadesha. And it all became because of a certain incident, a tragic, unfortunately not entirely unusual example of shameful behavior. Maaseh shehoyu shnehem shovin. There was a tie. V'rotzin v'yolin ba'kevesh. Two people were running up the kevesh. And there was a tie. V'dochaf echod mehen es chavero. One of them pushed the other one off the ramp. V'nofal, the poor other kohen fell. V'nishbur oraglo, and broke his foot. Nu. V'kevon shero beis din sheborn l'day sakona. The Beis Din saw that if you're going to have an actual race with people running up the ramp, it can be dangerous because people can lose themselves and one can push the other. Hiskinu shelo yuhu tarmenes ha-mizbeach el ha-bapayis. They made a takona from now on, no more of this running, no more first one who shows up who gets to do it, but rather every morning we have a lottery, call together as many kohanim who are there, we have this big circle, we remove the mitz nefes from one of the kohanim, we choose a random number much greater than the number of kohanim, we start to count from the kohen without the mitz nefes on his head, we count all the way until that number is reached, the person who is lucky enough for that number to come to him, to his extended finger, he's the one who does the Trumas Hadesha. Skinu shelo yitomen esem esbeach elo bapayis, only through this method of the pious. Arba piyasos hayusham. There were four, so to speak, piouses, four lotteries of this circle and fingers routine. Four of them every day. Vizeha pious harishon. The first one was the one done for the Trumas Hadeshin. The Gemara says that the Kohen number one, who was privileged to do the Trumas Hadeshin, also got a bonus. He got to do the Sidur HaMa'arocho. He arranged the wood upon the surface of the Mizbeach, and he would bring the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, the two chunks of wood, to the Mizbeach, which was a mitzvah to do every morning. Now, there's an interesting discussion here in the Rishonim, which is summarized in great detail by the Tosfos Yom Tov, as to whether we're talking here about Yom Kippur. Did they do this pious on Yom Kippur too? This not only this pious, but this is the first pious. We're about to learn about all four piousos. Was it done Yom Kippur too? Or are we speaking here about an ordinary day of the year? So the interesting thing is that the Rishonim, those Rishonim who composed the Piyutim, the poems that are part of our davening on Yom Kippur, some poets say that there is a pious on Yom Kippur too. And some of the Piyutim say there's no pious on Yom Kippur. What's this all about? Well, it's a basic machlokes Rishonim. The Rishon known as the Baal HaMo'or, whose commentary can be found in the back of Maseches Yoma on the page of the Rif in the back. The Baal HaMo'or was written by Rabbeinu Zerachya HaLevi of Provence. And the Baal HaMo'or says that the Balei HaKrovos, those who wrote these piyutim and put in the Arbo Paisos on Yom Kippur, were making a mistake, because on Yom Kippur everything had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Nothing was done by an ordinary Kohen, no need for a pious. However, the Ramban, who has a commentary adjacent on that page to the Baal Hamor. The Ramban, the great Ramban, the Sefer he wrote is called Milchamos Hashem. So the Ramban, the Milchamos, has a long argument against the Baal Hamor, and he says, no, there was a pious on Yom Kippur too, that there were activities in the Beis HaMikdash that could be done by the non-Kohen Gadol as well. The Ramban feels it's unlikely that we will have several Mishnayos now to discuss something which only happened the rest of the year and did not happen on Yom Kippur. This whole Masechta is dealing with Yom Kippur. Therefore, the Ramban spells out exactly which paisos were up for grabs to other Kohanim. The Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchas Avodas Yom HaKippurim also suggests that there were paisos for others on Yom Kippur. Didn't have to be done to Kohen Gadol, but he seems to limit it not to not to four paisos, he limits it to two paisos, one pious for the Trumas Hadeshen and one pious for the Dishon HaMizbeach. The interesting thing is that I noticed that the Chidushei Horitva on Meseches Yomo has an interesting shita here. He holds that min haTorah, the only avodos that the Kohen Gadol had to do are those avodos which are spelled out in the Torah, as special for Yom Kippur. The other avodos, which were not dafke Yom Kippur, but were done the rest of the year too, on Yom Kippur, only midrabbanon had to be done by a Kohen Gadol. And because of various circumstances, if the Kohen Gadol couldn't do all those that are required of him, only midrabbanon, you might have had room for a pious, another Kohen could do it. But in any case, this is a machlokas. When we speak here of these four paisos, is it we're only speaking of the rest of the year, and Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did it all, this is the sheet of the Baal Hamor, or was there a pious even on Yom Kippur too, that's the sheet of the Ramban. Now, we finish now with pious number one, which ends Mishnah number two. Now, let's go on to Mishnah number three of Perek Beis. HaPayas HaSheni, the second pious, second gathering of the Kohanim, forming a circle, counting. All right. Now, here we have an interesting thing. We go around the circle. Let's say we would pick a number. There were 20, 30 Kohanim there. We'd pick a number 94. And we go around the circle and count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, count fingers until we reach finger number 94. That's the man. That person would do the first activity here. HaPayas HaSheni Mishochet. He would be the one to perform the Shechita. The one next to him, the one who was 93, Mizorek, he would be the one who would do the Zerikas Hadam, who would sprinkle the blood. The Abatanura says that even though the sequence here is first Shochet and then Zorek, so number one got to do Shechita, no big deal. Well, number one, number 94 in our example, the person who won, W-O-N, so he got the big prize. What's the big prize? To Shech the animal? To Shech the Korban Tamid? Even a non-Kohen can do that. Shechitos Kesher Abizor. So therefore the Batnura says no. The fellow who got the best number, he does his Rikas Adam. Actually, he does the Kabbalah Sadam, he receives the dam and from the neck of the animal, and he sprinkles it upon Mizbeach. That is an avoda. The fellow who got the next number, the runner-up, he does the Shochet, he does the Shechita. The Mishnah changes the sequence because the Mishnah is going in the sequence of, not of Chashivos, not of importance, but of priorities. Mizorek. Mi medashem Mizbeach HaPanimi. So going number two, he did the Zrika Saddam and the Kabbalah Saddam. Kohen number three, Mi Medashen Mizbeach HaPanimi. He would clear off the ash from the inner Mizbeach, from the Mizbeach HaZohav upon which the Ktores was brought, the Mizbeach which was indoors in the Heichal. That was Kohen number three. Kohen number four, Umi Medashen Es HaMenorah. Kohen number four would be the one to remove the ash from the menorah. Umi ma'ale evorim lakevetz. Now, who would bring up the sections of the animal of the korban tamid was sectioned into various pieces, nisochim, various sections. So it was done as follows. Kohen number 5, he would bring horosh v'horegel. He would bring the head of the animal and the right rear foot of the animal. That was Kohen number 5. Shtei hayodayim, the two front legs of the animal, the hands, so to speak, of the animal, they were brought by Kohen number 6. Ha'ukots, the tail of the animal, v'horegel, and the left rear foot of the animal, they were brought on by Kohen number 7. Hachoze, the chest, the sternum of the animal. V'hagero, the gero is the place from which the animal chews its cud, meaning the neck of the animal. That was, and attached to it in the neck, was the trachea, and the heart and the lungs. That was Kohen number 8. Ushtei hadefonos, the two flanks, two sides of the animal, with the spinal cord and the spleen and the liver, they were brought by Kohen number 9. V'hakrovayim, the innards of the animal, the intestines, etc., which were placed, they were kind of liquefied, so they were placed into a bozech, into a cup, a large goblet. That was brought up to the Mizbeach by the Kohen number 10. It was brought up to the ramp, to the Kevesh. That was Kohen number 10. V'hasoles, the meal, the flour for the Korban Tomid, that was brought by Kohen number 11. V'hachavitin, now every single day the Kohen Gadol would offer a special Korban Mincha. One Asiris, which was Asiris HaEifah, half of it in the morning, half of it in the evening. And he would bring it, it was prepared, with like loaves of bread that were prepared in a frying pan of oil. Frying pan is called a machavas. That's where the word chavitin come from. So that offering of the Kohen Gadol was brought by an ordinary Kohen. This was Kohen number 12. V'hayayin. And then there was the Kohen who brought the wine, the Revius Hahin, the quarter of a hin, which was a liquid measure, which was always, that wine was the nesech to accompany the korban tomid, that was brought by Kohen number 13. Shlosha osar kohanim zachu bo. So there was a winner who did the rosh regel. There's a winner who did either the shchita or the zrika. Then there was a runner-up who did the other, either Shchita or Zrika. Then there was a next runner-up who did the Dishna Mizbeach HaPnimi, etc., etc., until the 13th runner-up who brought the Yayin. So the procedure that we have here is not the anatomical front-to-back of the animal. You have a rear foot first, and then a front foot afterwards, etc. Here, what was brought is first the rosh, the head is the most choshuv, and after that the most meaty, the most the fattest, the most meaty, M-E-A-T-Y, chunks of meat were brought in the order of their meatiness. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. Omar ben Azai lifnei Rabbi Akiva. However, ben Azai said before Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Yehoshua, and the name of Rabbi Yehoshua, Derech Hilucho HaYekorev. You didn't bring, the sequence was not head and fatty right rear foot first, but rather it was in the sequence in which the animal walks, the anatomical structure of the animal, which meant first the head, and then the forelegs, etc., in the manner in which the animal actually walked. This is the opinion of Ben Azai in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua. The halacha is not like this. The halacha is like the Tanakama. So rules the Rambam in Hilchos Tamidin, Perek Dalet, Halacha Hey. And so we have finished Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, and Mishnah Gimel, and in the process have finished lesson number 6.